Back there. Well, there's an old saying, if you don't like the weather in South Carolina, just wait a minute, it'll change. And that is certainly the case, isn't it? It feels like winter out there. My wife reminded me I look like the breath of spring. But I'm hot-blooded, so I don't mind it at all. You know, today, we're going to start a series entitled The Joy Effect. Now, specifically, that means how having the joy of the Lord active and present, front and center in our lives, affects every aspect of our lives. And I mean every aspect. I wonder if any of you remember the song that maybe you grew up with, If You're Happy and You Know It. I'm not going to ask you to sing it, and I'm going to help you out. I'm not going to sing it. But if you're happy and you know it, if you know that song, it prompted some kind of action on your part. Whether it's clap your hands or stomp your feet or shake, whatever it is, if you're happy and you know it, people around you realize it. If you're really happy, you can't hide it. We're going to talk about having the joy of the Lord. Having the joy of the Lord greatly affects our mood. It affects our relationships. It affects our job performance, believe you me. It affects our mindset. It affects our future. It affects our planning and organizing. It greatly affects our ability to forgive, to love. And last but not least, having the joy of the Lord greatly affects our witness for the Lord, our shining for Jesus, our ability to carry the message of forgiveness. Having the joy of the Lord is one of the ways that the world gets to see who we serve. It's one of the fruits that Jesus' followers should be producing. If you're not living in the joy of the Lord, you're probably not producing the joy of the Lord. Paul reminds us of what we should be producing in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result, and listen to this part, the result of His presence within us will produce this: love, unselfish concern for others, joy, which is all about this month, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And listen, I know there are times when we don't feel God's joy. It happens to all of us. But take notice, Paul doesn't list, quote, how we feel as a fruit of the Spirit. We think how we feel is important. But Paul says, doesn't even mention that. How we feel is really irrelevant. The Apostle Paul was really telling us that if we are not producing these fruits, joy being one of them, others will get an inaccurate, incorrect, false view of who Jesus really is and will miss out on His benefits. Joy is a biggie. The world will tell us that our circumstances are what will either produce joy or not. The culture tells us that joy is contingent on things going well and falling into place for us. The common consensus around the water cooler at work is that the absence of hardships, trials, or problems brings joy. Not so for a Christian. That's not the way God works in His people. The joy of the Lord is not based on any outside force, situation, or event. No, it's something supernatural that's available to all who follow Jesus. Listen, it's not logical, that's for sure. The truth is that I have walked through hard situations without the joy of the Lord, and I have walked through hard situations with the joy of the Lord. And I can tell you, it's much, much, much easier to do with the joy of the Lord. Plus, and this is the most important, it brings glory to God in the midst of our mess. The dictionary tells us that joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. But I want to warn you, feelings are dangerous. Feelings can get you in trouble. Feelings are volatile. Feelings are unpredictable. Feelings can change moment by moment. If you don't believe me, look at your life. Sometimes we allow our feelings to navigate us. But research tells us that feelings are contingent on the external. Feelings are a product of the natural. Feelings can change with the wind. Feelings can be fickle. Feelings are selfish and self-serving. So it's so unwise to navigate your lives based on your feelings. More from the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. See, that tells me that we must not walk by our feelings, but by our faith in our belief in God's promises. The joy we're talking about comes from our confident belief in God's provisions and his promises. Hear this loud and clear. Feelings will fail you. God's promises will not. Feelings will fail you. They do it every day. God's promises will not. I want you to see joy and confidence going hand in hand in the things of God. If you have joy in the Lord, then you are confident in His Word. If you are confident in His Word, then you have the joy of the Lord. The biggest robber of joy is our feelings. If you wait until you feel joyful, you're not going to be joyful too much. But if your joy comes from your confidence in the confidences in the promises of God, you'll live a life of joy. If you really believe what you say you believe, there is an inward joy that God begins to show you, and you walk in that no matter what. Why? Because circumstances don't bring you joy. The promises of God, the confidence in the promises of God do. Philippians 4:4, rejoice. And I would say that means have joy. Someone tells you to rejoice, they want you to have joy. So I'll say, have joy in the Lord always. Delight, take pleasure in Him. Again, I will say, have joy. So what does the Bible tell us about joy? First and foremost, I've found that in order to live the life that Jesus intends, we have to know His Word. That's where we'll find reason to be joyful. In His Word. Now, I'm going to rattle off some things, and I want you to hear them, but I want you to write down the reference. And I'll try not to go, Susan will warn me, don't go too fast. But we'll post these references on Facebook on our message today if you miss those. But this is just a sampling of what the Bible says about joy. We're to be full of joy, Romans 15:13. We are to be joyful in trials. That's harder. James 1:2. We find that God's presence gives us joy. That's Psalm 16:11. We find that God brings joy when we pray, when we talk with Him. That's John 16:24. God wants us to produce joy. Galatians 5:22. We just read that scripture. The Bible tells us that joy is good for us. Proverbs 17:22. The Bible also tells us that no one can take our joy away. John 16:22. The Bible tells us that joy is vital in the kingdom of God. It's vital. If you go around sad sack, no one's going to want your Jesus. Joy is vital in the kingdom of God. Romans 14:7. God's Word brings us joy. We talk about the importance of God's Word all the time. It brings us joy. John 15:11. The Bible tells us that joy is available daily. And that certainly means it's God's supply of joy is not going to run out. Psalms 30:5. The Bible tells us that God puts joy in our heart. We read that in Psalms 4:7. The Bible also tells us that our hope in God, just the very hope in God, brings joy. Proverbs 10:28. And as we even read this morning and sang about this morning, we should shout for joy. Psalms 26:6. We should sing for joy. Isaiah 12:6. The Bible tells us that God is our joy. Maybe you don't have anything you think, I don't have anything to be joyful about. You've got God. And the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2:20 that God is our joy. The Bible also says joy in the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. The Bible tells us that our joy is complete. That means there is a place that we have arrived in the things of God when we can have the joy of the Lord in all circumstances. We see that in 1 John 1:4. And the challenge in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, we are to be joyful when you feel like it. You think that's what the word says? No, it says always. We are to be joyful always. And that means that there's going to be many days that you don't feel like it. But we remember, feelings are going to fail us. But God's promises won't. Joy in the Lord, the bottom line of all of this is that joy in the Lord comes when we trust Him fully. If we believe that God means what He says and it is true, then there is a joy that resides inside of us that the enemy can't shake. I want you to think about what can be accomplished when we have the joy of the Lord. With the joy of the Lord, we're immune to the cares of the world. With the joy of the Lord, we are able to do mighty exploits for God. With the joy of the Lord, we are not subject to the drawing or the luring of the culture. With the joy of the Lord, we are not swayed by the lies of the enemy. With the joys of the Lord, we are confident in His promises. What would cause Mary, the mother of Jesus, to be at peace with carrying and giving birth to the baby Jesus? I believe it was the joy of the Lord. What would cause David to fight a giant that had everyone else had cowered down in fear? I would submit to you it's the joy of the Lord. What would cause Joshua and Caleb to see victory in the midst of an impending battle where everybody else saw otherwise? I believe it's the joy of the Lord. What would cause Moses to agree to lead God's people to freedom? I believe it's the joy of the Lord. What would cause Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to willingly be willing to go into the furnace? I think it's the joy of the Lord. What would cause Abraham to pick up and head toward a new land? See, I believe it's the joy of the Lord. What would cause Noah to build an ark to prepare for a flood? See, I believe it's the joy of the Lord. What would enable Daniel to face lions? You say, I think it's the joy of the Lord. See, the joy of the Lord comes when we trust God's promises. The joy of the Lord can come at any point when you engage your trust in what He has said. So I want to ask you a couple questions today. What are you facing today? Very simply, what are you facing today? It may look huge to you. It may look overwhelming. It may look difficult. It may look insurmountable. It may seem impossible. It may seem improbable. It may seem unheard of. It may seem to be unreachable. And if you allow any of those words to sum up what you're feeling, then maybe you don't fully trust God. Maybe you don't have the joy of the Lord. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 out of the Amplified says, "Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize Him, and He will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way." The Message version says it this way, "Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God and run from evil." See, when we're confident in the promises of God, we'll have His joy. And when we have His joy, nothing that the enemy sends will prosper. The joy of the Lord is of higher value than anything else. Because the joy of the Lord means that we are confident in God's word, confident in what God says, confident that God will do what he says he will do, confident that he will do what he says he will do. So often the enemy has tempted us and tries to get us to second guess that scripture. Well, maybe that's not right. Maybe there's some things that he might say he's going to do, he won't do. That's not true. The enemy wants you not to be confident in the promises of God. But when you are confident in the promises of God, nothing bothers you. You walk through life above the problems. You don't find yourself bowing down to what the enemy is trying to lure you with. The big thing is that many times we trade the joy of the Lord for the fear that the enemy wants us to grab. And who in the right mind would trade joy for fear? But when we question the promises of God, the joy of the Lord's not there. Then you're going to begin to major on those things that are the loudest in your life. And if you allow the enemy to be the loudest, he will be. There's an old hymn that comes to mind. It's called Trust and Obey. And some of the words are, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, with the illumination of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I want to encourage you to find joy in the promises of God. When you experience God's joy, there's great strength. When you experience God's joy, there's great hope. When you experience God's joy, there's great promise. In fact, another phrase from another hymn, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When you are confident in the promises of God, then the things of the earth will pale. The luring of the enemy will pale. The shouting of the enemy will be silenced. The fear that the enemy is trying to replace the joy of the Lord within our lives, it won't work. See, when we have God's joy, we can trust him in any circumstance and can believe that God can do the impossible in and through us, all for his glory. See, when we trust him fully, he sends his joy. You're lacking the joy of the Lord in your life. Maybe you don't trust him fully. Maybe you trust him a little bit. Or maybe you trust him a lot, but there's some things that you just don't trust. The things of the earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When we trust him fully, he sends joy. When we trust him, no matter what, no matter what it might look like, no matter how loud the enemy may try to be, when we trust him fully, he sends his joy. We are people that are governed by our feelings so often. But I want to remind you that feelings will fail you. But your God's promises will not. They will bring you great joy. God's promises will bring you great joy. And I can tell you, as one that's walked with the Lord a long time, that it is his way is best. Am I perfect? No, I've made plenty of mistakes. And that's why I can tell you from experience that his way is best. And if I am fully confident in his promises, then I don't question what God can do. It makes faith much easier if we are confident in the promises of God. And not only do you get the joy of the Lord, you get the confidence that won't waver. Some of you, maybe you're dealing with things that you just don't know how to get out of that. Well, guess who does know? our God. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen if you don't yield confidently to His promises. He knows what will happen. And He wants to warn you. Don't be moved by your feelings. Just don't listen to the enemy, because he's got nothing good for you. It may be packaged so well. Have you ever got a package that looks so beautiful and you opened it up and it was a lousy present? That's what the enemy does. He cleans up real good. He puts the best bow on. And he says, I got your best interest at heart here. And you open it up, and it's death. It's no good. See, the enemy has nothing but death and destruction for God's people. And he works hard at those that have the potential to do his kingdom damage. You're thinking, well, the enemy's really after me. Well, I wonder why. Because of the potential that you have in God. God has created you to be His light in this world, to be salt and light. We're to make people thirsty, to thirst after the things of God. How do you do that? Well, having joy of the Lord when you walk through the horrible situations. Having the joy of the Lord is the best thing you could ever have. Because the enemy can't take that from you. Why? Because you believe and you're confident in God's promises, the very thing that gives you joy in the Lord. And if you allow the enemy to whisper that God's word is not for you, that's when you rebuke him. When the enemy comes at you with anything that's contrary to the word of God, you have power in the Holy Spirit to say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Speaking the name of Jesus puts the enemy at bay. He can't come any further. I've shared this before, but I had a head-on collision. I was forced into a head-on collision by a drunk driver hitting me one time, and it threw me out of the car. And I remember, all I remember saying is, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. I'm confident that if I had not spoken those words, that the story would have ended different. There was another car that was coming this way that just barely missed me. See, when you speak the name of Jesus, it alters what the enemy can do. You may think that he is all powerful. The enemy is nothing. He's just a little pipsqueak. He is a little, I know if you like chihuahuas, you'll get offended, but a little chihuahua that is just nipping at your heels, trying to bug you. If we ever saw, if we really saw a comparison between how big God is and how little the enemy is, we would never fall for his tricks. We never would. But we've made him into this force. The devil made me do it. I think Flip Wilson made that famous years and years ago. The devil made me do it. Well, you don't have to. You can speak the name of Jesus. You can stop that cycle, whatever it is. The enemy wants to tempt you where you can be tempted. He is not going to mess with you on the things he can't tempt you. But he will come after you with the area that is the weakest in your life. The thing that you haven't committed to God. The thing that you haven't submitted to God. The thing that you've kind of held aside and you've kept over here and you want to keep to yourself. It's in that closet that no one goes in. But the enemy is not bigger than Jesus. As we speak the name of Jesus, everything can happen. Captives be set free. Disease can be healed. The dead can rise. Speaking the name of Jesus could be the difference in life and death. As I was rolling on the asphalt, and I remember that vividly in the back of my head, rolling all over the asphalt, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Do you speak the name of Jesus in the face of the enemy? The enemy wanted to snuff out my life at 16 years old, but Jesus had another plan. and I spoke the name of Jesus. Was I perfect after that? No, I still messed around a little bit. But there was a time when I knew that I had to do it, to give him full control. And when you give him full control, then you believe, then you're committing to believe that his words are true. And when you really believe his words are true, there's a joy that's inside of you that you cannot cut off. No one can even tell when you've had a bad day. Now, I'm not that good yet. My wife will ask me when I come home, "What's wrong? Something happened today." I can tell, "No, everything's fine." You know how we do it. But for someone that really has the joy of the Lord evident in their life, you'll never know when they have a bad day. You can see circumstances that would throw you, and you think about them. Why isn't it throwing that one? How can they be here when I would be down here when this happened? We got a family in our church has a coworker from some years ago. Her son died this week, and it's been extremely hard, as you can imagine. Well, we have a light that we can shine. We can show people, yes, this is tragic, but Jesus is here. You can speak the name of Jesus. Yes, there is grieving that happens, and I understand that, and I am not saying you don't grieve. You do grieve. We are built that way, but we don't grieve as those without all hope. We have hope in Jesus, and we speak Jesus over those things that would come to erupt and erode what God is doing. And if you know someone that walks in the joy of the Lord, you want some of that, don't you? I want some of that. I don't want to be tossed from this wave to that wave. I don't want to be down in the dumps one day and flying high the next day. No, I want to represent Jesus well, and I want to show people that I am confident in his promises, because his promises are real. His promises are true. His promises, you can stake your life on it. Evoking the name of Jesus when you're tempted to do something that he doesn't want, you will be amazed at what the power that you have just by evoking his name. Jesus. There's some of you that have got these habitual sins that you just keep doing over and over again, and maybe you say, "Well, that's just because my family raised me that way." No, it has to stop. You can speak the name of Jesus. You can believe that he is bigger than the enemy. And if you believe that God is bigger than the enemy, then you will sin less. I promise you that if you truly believe that God is bigger than the enemy, you will sin less. On this side of heaven, you're still going to mess up every now and then. But the fact of the matter is, the longer we serve Jesus should be the less sin we do. But then there's a day that everything falls apart on a Monday morning, and you find yourself just kind of sliding into the old ways. Let me encourage you. Remind yourself what brings the joy of the Lord. Being confident in his promises. Confidence in his promises will bring the joy that we're going to talk about all month. We're going to talk about the power of the joy of the Lord. The awesome power of the joy of the Lord. And it's not just going around laughing at everything. No, it is just not allowing the enemy to take us down to this place that would cause us to sin even more. See, when we start to forget his promises, we start sinking into the things that the enemy knows he can get us in. But the enemy doesn't want you to stay. I mean, God doesn't want you to stay there. The enemy wants you thinking that you have got that and that's all you're going to ever be. But that's not the plan of God for your life. Where we are not to be ruled by our feelings. We are not to be fueled by our emotions, because your feelings will fail you. God's promises will not, and they will bring you great joy. Who in here wants great joy? I do. Believe on the promises of God. Confidently believe on the promises of God, and you'll find that you'll have an unquenchable joy. And you'll even have people says, "How can you be happy when this just happened?" Well, let me tell you how I can be happy My future is not wrapped up in what just happened. I am not created and formed by what just happened. No, my Creator has created me, and He's formed me, and He's fashioned me, and He has caused me to be one of His own. And when He looks at me, He sees a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to Him. He doesn't see the one that just could succumb to the enemy's trick. No, that's not what He sees. He sees an overcomer. He sees more than a conqueror. He sees the one He created, the one He has purpose for from, well, before you were born, He knew your life. And it's to serve Him. We are created in the image of God to serve Him, and we will never be fully satisfied unless we're doing what we're created to do. And Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the most powerful name that I know. Evoking the name of Jesus can be the difference between life and death. Evoking the name of Jesus. Speaking Jesus, whereas everyone else would speak curses, we speak Jesus. We speak life. We speak His promises. And we ourselves make sure that it's not just lip service. We confidently trust and believe in God's promises. And therefore, there's an abundance of the joy of the Lord. Don't worry about your feelings. Your feelings will mess you up. But God's promises never will. Let's pray together.